B-Pod Studios.
And all of a sudden she turns into the vampire.
Yeah.
Between that or the fight in Bronx Tale, where they tell them, hey, you can leave, and they don't want to leave, so now you can't leave, and they lock the door.
And then you gotta throw knuckles. Yeah.
But between those two moments, I couldn't pick the two.
Wow. Those are both good ones, Christian. You're going to score tickets to FanFest. Those are great scenes. Neither of those were on my list, but those are good scenes.
Is your list ordered, or you just have no particular? If you could put number one, which one is it? One of the Pulp Fictions?
No. The greatest scene, if I'm going to go greatest single scene that I witnessed, it's going to be the first 10 to 15 minutes of Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, that was just incredibly shot.
Yeah, that's one. And, you know, I got an old one on here from The Deer Hunter, which is a great scene.
Is that the Russian roulette scene?
It is the Russian roulette scene, yes. There's some funny ones on here as well.
Blazing Saddles?
No, I don't have a Blazing Saddles. Goodfellas, but not Blazing Saddles. But most of these are like pretty tense scenes or just great dialogue. Like I brought up the heat scene in the diner.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was just great dialogue. Two incredible actors on the screen together and delivering. But there's one that's more of like, oh my God, it clicks. And there's actually two in that regard. I won't give them away. One of them was shot here in Philadelphia, as a matter of fact. So some great scenes, and again, if you can come up with one on the list or just a great one, you'll score tickets to FanFest.
This is why you need to see Dark Knight. There's so many great scenes in that movie.
Well, I like Heath Ledger too. He's a great actor, so I'm gonna have to watch.
Even just the opening scene, the way the movie starts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to.
I just never got into those like Batman movies and stuff.
Yeah, but it's a trilogy, right? You don't even have to see the first one, in my opinion.
If you can stand on its own?
If you just want to see that second movie, like there's some things at the end of the second movie where it ties into the first movie. Mm-hmm. But if you just wanted to watch The Dark Knight, you'd be okay with that. And again, going back to even just the way it was shot, it was fantastic. You should see it.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. 610-632-0975, that's the number. By the way, also, were you a fan of the show's coming back on Netflix tonight? It's coming back today, called Mindhunters. Did you watch the first season of that?
I watched the first episode. I watched the first episode, but with the way the Philly season's been going on, I've been so preoccupied by that. During the off season, come baseball time, I will watch it.
It's been out for 2 years.
I don't watch the first. I don't watch TV. I'm delayed with everything. I watched Breaking Bad last year.
All right, you're a mess.
Let's get to it.
Let's go to
talk to Pat about it.
Yeah, Patty and the Lehigh Valley's on the Fanatic. Hey, Patty.
Hey guys, how are you?
Great.
Good. I'm down here in AC enjoying my last summer of the week of the year.
A good beach day in there?
Oh, yeah. No clouds. We're getting the sun. But I've been listening, and I'm just thinking about the Eagles, thinking about putting that 13-1, putting some green on it. But I wanted to ask you guys what you thought about as far as the offense and the defense as a whole. What do you think is the biggest concern health-wise?
For the Eagles?
Yeah, for the Eagles.
For me, the bigger concern is defense because I don't think they have as much depth there. Like, you can look at the offensive line for the Eagles. Is Brandon Brooks going to play? Where's Lane Johnson going to be? Obviously, Jason Peters is a question mark. But I think they have some good depth there.
Yeah. And Sidney Jones, what do you think about him?
Well, if he's healthy and can stay healthy, this is going to be a very telling year. I can't predict what he is or what he's going to be. But if he's healthy, look, he's a high pedigree guy before he injured the Achilles at his pro day. So, look, we're going to get a lot of information about Sidney Jones, and we'll get it early this season.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't too impressed last night with him.
Didn't blow me away last night.
Yeah, it wasn't perfect. No. But then again, you've seen a lot of reports from camp that even when Jalen Mills and Rollo Darby are back, there's no set position for them. They're not going to automatically be named starters. Yeah. If Sidney Jones is playing well up until these guys come back, he's going to stay in that starting lineup.
Probably more so for Jalen Mills than it is Darby, but
right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Oh, let's hope so. Well, I got a movie scene. It's a little softer than some of the ones you've been mentioning, but it's always one that I absolutely love. It's from the movie Rudy, and it's when Rudy's standing there at the stadium, and the groundskeeper comes up, and he's telling him that he quits, and he's like, he's telling him, you know, I approve, and he's like, prove what? And then he explains to him for the first time that he actually was a player, and his regret, of quitting and his pride. So I don't know. That's one of
that's
mine.
A good one. My one.
I love that scene.
That movie's like hokey and everything, but it gets me
right.
too. And I'll score you the tickets, Patty. So we'll see you at FanFest coming up a week from tomorrow. The one for me is when they put the jerseys on the desk.
That is cool.
And I know the movie's not great, and it's Sean Astin playing a football player, and it's ridiculous, but it's one of those movies that when it comes on, I still watch it. I'm like an idiot. There's probably like a handful of movies that you can pick up at any time in the movie and then just continue to watch it.
Yeah,
you don't need to start to finish it. That's one of them. Like A Few Good Men is one of those movies for me. I liked Rudy. I don't know why you got so much vitriol against Rudy, Pat.
Because it sucks.
You should identify with Rudy.
Because it teaches you, if you get the you-know-what kicked out of you for 2 years, everybody will feel bad for you and let you go offsides to get a meaningless sack. That's what it teaches you.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
How do you think you scored that goal?
Now you're going to sit here and act like you just let it happen?
2 years.
And then let it happen. You never saw it coming.
Putting yourself out of position.
You weren't ready for me.
You're right, I wasn't. I did not see it coming.
Don't make me tweet the video out again.
You have it still?
Oh, yeah.
There was outrage on Twitter the other day because Stranger Things. Do you watch that?
No, my kids do, though.
Okay, so Sean Astin is in Stranger Things.
Uh-huh.
And like a tweet came out, Sean Astin from Stranger Things. And then people were like, whoa. Sean Astin has done a lot more than just Stranger Things.
Well, he was in all the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings. He was in Rudy, obviously. He was in The Goonies.
Yeah.
He was in The Goonies. He was in Mr. Deeds. Mm. Or no, not Mr. Deeds. 51st Dates with Adam Sandler.
He was great in that role.
Yes, he was. He was amazing in that role.
You're going to rip Rudy and you're going to applaud him for 51st Dates.
Sean Astin was great in that role.
It's an outrage.
You didn't see that, did you?
No.
Oh, come on.
That's the thing. He's going to rip it, but he's never seen it.
Yes.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Sound like a Philadelphia sports fan.
Yes.
Right now.
I didn't see the game, but they stink. B-Hawks on the Fanatic. What's up, Hawk?
Yo, cuz, what's going on? I know I call avidly, but I had to chime in on the movie thing. You know, Philly, you just chiming down until the regular season, but I had to jump in on the movie thing. Two iconic scenes. One, Brad Pitt finds out his wife's head's in a box in Seven, in the movie Seven with Morgan Freeman.
Yep. It's on my list, brother.
That's one of my favorite shows down my spine.
It's one of the most intense emotional, like, just it's tying your body in a knot watching it.
You ain't lying. And a lot of people don't realize, I was explaining to somebody that he completed all the sins. He needed that scene to happen to complete it all. But I was arguing with somebody. He said he didn't complete it. I'm like, yeah, he did after that, John. And another one, I'm going to lighter side, Animal House school fight scene.
Okay, I did not see Animal House, so I can't comment on that.
But that, or Sixth Sense, finding out that he was
that's the one that I just referred to that was shot in Philadelphia.
But that
was like a revelation that went in the Sixth Sense when he realized that he was dead.
Yeah, that was
spoiler.
Crazy. That seventh scene, that was for real, man.
No doubt about it. What do you got on the Phils there, Hawk?
Man, on the Phils, the momentum, just bring that back in there. That woke everyone back up into life, man. It's just. What if we do this again? I'm waiting for the next one. Because I've been sleeping away from watching the games. But that moment right there, just to see that, I can't. What if this happens again? Like, this is crazy, man. To get that, all it takes is one swing. And it's great. Only thing I want to tie into all of our Philly teams, our momentum from when we went deep. We just, one moment with the Sixers and even when the Eagles, when we caught fire for the Super Bowl run, it was just one momentum swing. And here we go. What if it happens again? I'm not saying we're going to go to the pennant or whatever, but it always takes that one moment. And then we just shift. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, well, that moment last night was one of those kinds of moments. Now it's incumbent upon the players on that team to use what happened last night and use that momentum and build on it. You got, 6 weeks left in the season?
Yeah.
40 games, roughly?
42, 41, something like that.
I think it might be 42 or 41 games left.
And you're one game back.
And you're right there. So now it's... Now the Padres got to come in. You got to take 2 out of 3 from the Padres. You have to.
Yeah, you have to win this series.
Yep.
Don't go back to all of a sudden losing and playing down your opponents, because that's what's going to happen. I remember last Saturday when I was on with the bro, Bryce Harper hit the 2 home runs, and we reacted to it Saturday morning. I said, okay, Bryce, do it again tonight, or at least do something tonight. It doesn't have to be 2 home runs, but do something offensively tonight. He went 0-for-4 that night, and then all of a sudden we're right back to where we were. So it's great that you swept the Cubs. Awesome. Charlie's here. The offense seems to be heating up a little bit. Now you have to win this series. If you go back to losing this series to a team that's 8 games below .500,
yeah,
and Manny Machado's on the other team, the guy that you kept on talking about whether you should sign Harper or Machado,
yeah.
Machado comes in here and tears up the Phillies, and the Phillies lose 2 of 3 in this series at home, all of a sudden we're back to where we were last week.
Yeah, you made that sweep of the Cubs meaningless. That's what right. It means. 610-632-0975. Stephen Muldoon tweets in, at Doonski on Twitter, and he said, still the best scene of all time. And it's a great one. And I did not make my list initially, but it's an oversight by me. And it's from Fast Times at Ridgemont High when Phoebe Cates in that red bikini exits the swimming pool.
That is a good one.
She was sensational. How about this one? And Pat, you'll like this one. Mo Abdul tweets in and goes, the Herb Brooks speech in Miracle was amazing.
Oh, I love that.
That is a great one. 610-632-0975. I didn't have that on my list either.
I'm disappointed in you, by the way.
Why?
This has nothing to do with movies. There was somebody's birthday yesterday that we didn't celebrate.
Somebody's birthday yesterday?
It was Jake Voracek's birthday.
Oh, was it?
And he put out a fantastic tweet.
What did he say?
Thanks for all the birthday wishes. To Flyers fans, I promise every time I cross the red line, I'll chip it in so I don't turn it over. And every time I cross the blue line, I'll shoot so I don't pass up the shot.
That's a good troll
tweet. You know, every time it's shoot!
Oh, boy.
It's a great tweet. I respect him a little more now.
610-632-0975. I'm shocked that you're not actually blocked by him.
Yeah, that's
he was a blocker.
Well, it was like Brandon Graham, right?
Yeah. Well, I think he unblocked people because he had me blocked at one point.
I got one of the beat writers blocked as a joke. By accident, I tweeted something and it got him blocked.
What, by Voracek?
Yeah, I was joking around, and I said, oh, this guy said so-and-so, and he's
and
like,
he blocked him for it?
He texted me back. He's like, bro, he blocked me. That's awesome. He actually believed it.
That's great.
This guy's a kind of accredited beat writer.
Oh, that's awesome. That's some of your finest work. That's Pat Egan, by the way. He's filling in for Andrew. Andrew in for Anthony. Jason Martinez. It is the Midday Show. It is a football Friday, but it is also a baseball Friday. And we're right here on 97.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew Saltunas in for Anthony. And thanks to our special guest today. How about John Travolta in studio?
That was awesome.
There was a photo taken with us and John in front of the Fanatic sign. I haven't seen it yet, though.
That'll probably come in via email.
Oh,
somebody from one of the business offices that took it.
Oh, okay. All right. Wondering how I looked.
Probably looked great.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We got a tweet. This is from Rick. He goes, during every commercial break from you guys, I watched the Harper video. He said, I've seen it about 35 times today.
Yeah, Egan was just telling me he's seen it. He can't get enough of it.
I watched it. Christy yelled at me last night because I kept on watching and I had the audio up and she was trying to sleep. She's like, would you turn that thing off?
She's trying to go to sleep and Tom McCarthy's going, wow! Yes.
Last time I watched a highlight this many times, like in a row, was the Kawhi shot. So it's nice to watch a highlight this many times and it's a good thing.
Why would you torture yourself on the Kawhi shot?
I just couldn't believe it. I'm breaking it down.
Like the physics of it?
You know, it was a lot like in the movie Fever Pitch when he's breaking down the Bill Buckner play over and over again and he's mm-hmm. he's like the Zapruder film, and that's what I was doing to myself. I'm breaking it down, waiting for the time to run out, and no, it never happened. Whoa, he still hits it.
I like that movie, Fever Pitch.
I liked it too.
Anthony hates it. Did you watch Fever Pitch?
Yeah, I did watch it. Yeah, I've seen it one time. Oh,
that was a great scene.
Yeah, I love that scene. He never backed up Buckner.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of one that I've watched in like nonstop. I guess the Philly special, Philly, and I'm sure. I didn't even watch the last play of the Super Bowl multiple times. It was more Philly. Watching how much Foles sold it with the acting and everything and then sliding down the line of scrimmage. But,
oh, yeah, because that's the most memorable play. The strip sack, I saw that a thousand times.
Yeah, that's
times,
like the great scene in Philadelphia sports. The greatest scene was, well, I don't know if it was, the greatest scene in Philadelphia sports, if you're equating it to a movie scene, was when the ball hit the ground or the strip sack. fumble recovery.
Well, even Philly, the acting from Nick Foles.
Yeah, but the scene, and to get the culmination of finally winning a Super Bowl when the ball hits the ground on the Hail Mary is the one. It probably for me. In 08, it's easy. It's Brad Lidge.
Yeah. 08 for Brad Lidge.
80 for Tug McGraw.
93, Mitch jumping up.
Yeah.
When they went to the World Series.
Yeah. Yeah, I was 80 with Tug McGraw. And then Bob Boone coming out.
Wait, it's anything winning, right?
Yeah. I mean, that moment, that's the moment that you have the soundtrack with Harry doing it in 2008.
Yes.
Well, we're champions of baseball. Let's get back to the phone. 610-632-0975. Big Mick in South Philly's on the Fanatic. Hey, Big Mick.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
What's up, Big?
That's what's up, man. I just want to get a couple of things about the Eagles and the Phillies and give my point on the movies. First of all, with the Phillies, when Harper hit that last night, it was different than any other home run he hit before. It seemed like when he hit that, the motion says, we got to run at these fellas. We want to make a run at that. It was a different emotion last night I ever seen. I watched the Phillies for years, but yesterday was that emotion I seen in 2008 when Jimmy Rollins hit that ball to propel us, to keep us going on. And something was about that last night with Harp. When he hit that, I got emotional, like, whoa, this might be
really
that run. Yes, because it was a different feeling yesterday.
But it hit you emotionally, Big Mick?
Yeah, it hit me emotionally. I never get emotional with baseball, but I've seen it. I love that because it's like he brought the Philly out of us. Like, you see his motion, that's Philly. And, like, we want to win.
I thought the funniest thing about the whole thing, Big Mick, was the way he ran the bases.
Exactly. That's emotion. You should have seen it. Like,
he couldn't wait to get home.
Exactly. And then another one with the Eagles. This is the point I want to have. If you had two starters, you can remove from the defensive front to put two defensive starters from the second unit in there, who would that be? My two would be the guy Hall and the guy Sharif.
Sharif Miller.
I will move Brandon Graham. He looks slow. And I will move Brandon Curry. He looks slow. And let them reverse roles. They're going to come in just for special packages, like Brandon Graham and them just coming for special packages. That's it. And my favorite movie of all time, it seems, I don't got to go to no other movies. It got more scenes in it in a little bit, was Gladiator. Gladiator got the most craziest scene, especially when he came in the arena and he said, Gladiator, take off your helmet and show who you are.
The Spaniard reveals himself as Commodus. It's on my list. yes!
Awesome!
He goes, son of a murdered... father of a murdered son, husband of a murdered wife.
Yeah.
Maximus Decimus Meridius.
Yes. My son was born 4 or 5 years ago, and his middle name is, I named him after the movie Maximus.
Oh, you did? Nice. His middle name, Maximus. Yes. I love it. Hang on, Big Mick. You got tickets, man. Yeah. Spaniard revealed himself as Commodus. Don't turn your back on the king. And he says, it goes through the whole speech. Son of a murderer, blah, 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 you know. My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius.
Could you say word for word? I think you could.
I probably can't because I haven't seen it enough times to nail that one word for word. But that is a great scene.
If you could do out of a 100% clip, would you be in the 80s at least word
for
word?
Yeah, I could probably do that. Yeah. But that's on my list. So the ones that people got on my list so far, the two Pulp Fiction ones we brought up, the courtroom scene from A Few Good Men.
Do you have any sports ones on there?
Sports one, no.
Because I'm thinking of Remember the Titans, the run to Gettysburg, and then the speech at Gettysburg from Denzel.
Yeah, no,
That's an incredible scene.
I don't have any sports ones on here at all. I didn't have the one from Miracle either with Herb Brooks doing the speech. Didn't have that one. Somebody got Saving Private Ryan. What's in the Box from Seven was brought up. What else is on here? No, I still got a couple good ones on here that people haven't gotten. I got a great scene from The Unforgiven. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes.
That's phenomenal. The Jaws one. And still some other ones. I still got some good ones on the list. And if you have a good one, you'll score tickets to FanFest coming up week from tomorrow.
By the way, we do have a Twitter poll up on the Phillies today.
All right,
on the midday account. It goes back to our previous caller said he got emotional yesterday, right?
Yep.
So if callers are getting emotional, now they're going to get even more and more invested into this team. And you remember going back to May and June, the viewership was so much higher over the last couple of years. Like, it was higher this season than over the last couple of years, and for good reason, because they were terrible the last couple of years, and they were in first place in May, first place beginning of June, then they fell apart. If they continue to win, they're going to get people back. So the question that we have running is, will the Phillies finish the regular season as one of the two wildcard teams in the National League?
All right, what's
not
the
make the playoffs, because a lot of people might forget about the one-game playoff, but a wildcard team. 60% say yes, they will be a wild card team. 33% say they won't make the playoffs. And 7% are going all the way saying that they will win the NL East, which I don't think that's going to happen. But
you're going to win the NL East? I mean, right now,
they're 8 games back.
Yeah, they're 8 games. That ain't happening.
I don't think it's going to happen. But just last week, people were saying, if we ran a poll last week, will the Phillies make the playoffs, yes or no? 85% would have said no.
No.
And there would have been 15% of Phillies fans just holding on to hope that they would make the playoffs. Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, Charlie Manuel and the Magic and a walk-off grand slam and 11 runs in that the game 2 days ago, it's bringing Phillies fans back.
Changed everything. Let's go to John in Bordentown on the Fanatic. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, how you doing, Jason?
Doing good, John.
So, Harper's reaction last night was very genuine. It was so exciting to see how he reacted to the fans, and how after he talked about how it's a family here in Philadelphia. That's what Philly fans want to hear.
Well, look, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He came here, made a decision with his wife, and that's what John Middleton sold him on. That you're not just coming here to play baseball, you're coming here to join a family and join a community and all those things. And Bryce Harper cited that many times when he first signed in that introductory press conference, and he hasn't stepped away from that message at all.
And the fact that, like, bringing Charlie Manuel back, it's awesome. I mean, look what the Mets did with hiring an 82-year-old pitching coach. It kind of sparked their season. I think it's going to do the same thing now for the Phillies.
Yeah, look, I don't think the Charlie effect is that great, but it maybe was more to me just the you coming up with a scapegoat for what wasn't working before, and that's really firing John Mailey.
True. And on the movie, that Jaws scene, the part when Robert Shaw gives the speech about the Indianapolis.
The USS Indianapolis.
One of the best scenes.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Yep, it's tremendous. And like you watch Richard Dreyfuss and Roy Scheider in the scene too, and they're just watching him perform it, and it is awesome.
Yeah, it's one of the best scenes. And me being I'm in my 40s now, so as a kid seeing that, it made me afraid to go in the water.
Oh, yeah.
Jason's still terrified.
Yeah, I am. And I just got a notification a little while ago on my Sharktivity app. Yeah, you need to get tickets for FanFest. John, hold on for me. Actually, let me ask John. He's on hold now. I was going to ask him a question about that scene. How many men went into the water that day, and how many came out? It was June the 19th, 1945.
I've seen this movie 1,000 times. I should know.
But how many? 1,100 men went in the water that day. How many came out? Do you remember?
74?
Nope. I'll see if somebody can get it. Because at the end of the speech, I think he says, 1,100 men went in the water that day.
Yeah, and then
day.
He says how many came out.
Blah, yep. Blah, blah, came out. Sharks took the rest. June the 19th, 1945. Anyway, we delivered the bomb.
Do you have a Star Wars scene on there?
One.
I know which one.
Which one?
The Princess Leia scene, obviously.
Yeah, the Princess Leia one. Jason was a big Princess Leia fan. No, yeah. I'm going to guess when he says, Luke, I am your father.
Dude, spoiler alert.
Seriously.
You already said that, you know.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Sixth Sense.
It's only been out since 1977.
You already said that he was dead the whole time.
Yes.
Oh, man.
There's somebody out there who's so mad because Andrew just ruined the movie.
Well, I remember when I saw that scene in the theater, I'm like, oh, my God, what? And everybody was walking out like, this can't be true. There's no way Darth Vader's Luke's father.
You went and saw it with another Philadelphia sports radio guy?
Yes. It can't be true.
There's a pen.
Get you on the wheel. Jimmy and Mount Holly's on a Fanatic. Jimmy! Jimmy?
Oh,
I punched him up and he went
Jimmy
away right
bounced.
Away. Call back. Matt in Pottstown's on the Fanatic. What's up, Matty?
Hey, guys. How's it going? I want to talk my movie, or I talk my the Eagles before I get to the movie, but I've been away for a few days, so I'm not sure what the talk has been, what the climate's been, but a friend of mine who got to see some of that inner Jags practice with the Eagles, obviously, we got to put Carson in the bubble wrap with everything that's going on. I understand that. I get that. I'm really concerned about him coming back with the rust he was already going to have. Now that's going to be compounded. And I'm hearing he didn't look that great in certain segments against the Jaguars when they did do some things. Then you get this concussion protocol last night, which means we've got to look to bring somebody in, at least to get us through the remainder of the preseason, because I really don't see Carson playing at all, if not just a little bit in that final preseason game. What has been the concern factor with the rust that he's already going to have coming in? And I know we got like Braxton Miller on the squad. It could be an emergency guy. But after this week when there's some cuts, who are we looking at possibly bringing in the at least we can ride out through the rest of this
preseason? Well, you can bring in Sam Bradford. You can bring in another arm. There's guys out there. I know I saw it again last night. I love people. As soon as any quarterback gets injured, they just throw Kaepernick's name out there like he was in the league last year and he can fit in any offense in the NFL. Frankly, it's short-sighted and idiotic to just throw his name out there when you don't consider those other things. But that being said, there's guys out there you can get, especially if you're going to just bring them in to be an arm in camp.
Yeah, you're looking to get an arm in camp. And I know like in an emergency situation, like I said, I know we got a couple guys on the roster that have quarterback experience, you know, so to speak, at a high level. But I just want to see what that is. What about the rust factor? I mean, do you think he's going to play at all in that final preseason game?
In the final preseason game, no. They never play in that game. If he's going to play at all, it would be the third game where traditionally in years past, that's where they would play the most. But I don't think he's going to play at all. And look, it keeps getting cited, and we cited it, I guess it was yesterday, with Derek Gunn or Zach Berman, that the Los Angeles Rams going into last season, they went to the Super Bowl. That rust factor, and not only that, but what the Eagles can accomplish this week in these joint practices with Baltimore on Monday and Tuesday before they play them on Thursday, they're able to accomplish a lot there. There's never any exhibition games in high school. There's never any exhibition games in college. You don't need exhibition games in the NFL either. It's just a cash grab.
Yeah, true. My movies, I was going to keep it football-oriented. I was thinking, obviously, I'm not sure the age, you know, scope of the listeners and stuff, but immediately when I start thinking these things, as a kid, Bryant's song jumps into my head, but I'm not going to go there. Like I said, I was thinking football. I'm going to go with somebody said something. I'm going to go with Training Day, Denzel. The end scene when he's in the hood and they give the money to Jake and they're like, Jake, we got your back. That is such a powerful scene by Denzel, the
great
way he
call.
Takes over everybody. I mean, it's just a very, and I mean, you could sit here and you could probably go the rest of this hour and you could go with all Denzel movies and a bunch of scenes.
Yeah.
He's a great actor, really, really takes over a scene at some point in the movie and makes it his. But I'm going to go with Training Day.
Yeah. It's a good one.
When he gets the bag.
Yeah, it's not on my list, Matt, but it's a great one and you're getting tickets for it because you're right, too. Because a lot of times when you talk about the great scenes, you need great dialogue. And certain actors like Denzel, like there's nobody is he's top of the list when you're talking about guys delivering dialogue. I mean, just off the charts. He's great. That scene's a great one.
And especially just like,
it's his finest film, in my opinion.
And I know there's directors that help them out, but a guy like Denzel is a pro, so he's doing things on his own. Like the certain pauses in between words that they say, like Denzel does that perfectly.
Oh, yeah, the intonation and the enunciation, everything that he uses when he delivers the written word off the page is what makes him great.
By the way, TMZ Sports obtained video of DeMarcus Cousins' injury from yesterday.
Uh-huh. When he got injured?
Non-contact. They were playing 5-on-5 pickup.
What, just like kind of blew it out when he tried to stop?
He was driving the lane. Yeah. He brought the ball up himself, was driving the lane, non-contact. The second step going for the layup, his left leg just gives out.
Oh,
it's terrible.
Yeah, it's over, Johnny. Steel in Ocean City's on the Fanatic. What's up, Steel? Steel.
Jason.
What's up, buddy?
Hey,
man.
Lithuanian lover, Pat Egan. Have a safe weekend, my friends.
We will, man.
Thank you,
Steve. All right, listen. I have a movie scene after my sports point, if I could.
All right.
I was lucky at the ballpark last night. Jason, when I tell you, and I'm 62 years of age, and I've seen some baseball, that was probably the greatest baseball game live I've ever seen.
Regular season? Were you ever at a playoff game?
I'm sorry?
Were you ever at like a big playoff win?
The game last night, it was just, it was electric.
It wasn't right electric. Now. It was electric at the end.
Well, that's the point. It was just, you know, they were, the Cubs were like 99%.
I can't stand this. Sorry, Steele, I think your phone just cut out, but it was cutting out pretty repeatedly. Yes. Look, it was a great scene last night.
Yes.
The one inning was great. It was. I'm not poo-pooing it. But 62 years old, it's the greatest scene of your life. I don't know if I go that far.
World Series is nice.
The recency bias of it may be, you know, affecting his judgment.
See, now, the 2-6 show today is going to be a party.
Why?
Mike's off
Tyrone,
today.
Yeah.
So, Tyrone and Tyrone? And I, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So, it's me and Tyrone today from 2-6.
You got your jersey on, your foam finger.
Yeah, we got my man Eric Simon, who's in promotions at WMMR. He has the Phillies, the same jersey as I have.
Powder
on,
blue.
Powder blue Harper.
Yeah, you guys look like you're filming a Double Mint commercial.
Yes.
You got the same haircut, same jersey. It's ridiculous.
Awesome.
You had a little balance on that show today.
Oh, man.
But I come to find this out yesterday. Yeah, you're all on board, too.
Oh, what, Phillies?
Yeah, you're pom-pommed out.
Oh, I'm ready to go.
There's no balance.
Let's go.
Well, I mean, Tyrone and Team Tyrone, like I come to find out yesterday, he's an insta-reactor when it comes to baseball.
Good.
I can't believe that. Has Mikey Mist not taught him anything? Like, you can't insta-react on baseball.
That's why I'm on TV, so that's why I got the Phillies jersey on today.
God.
I got to represent, man. This is the exact same outfit I wore last night, too.
You're a little pungent.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so coming up to the top of the hour, we got a little something called Bring the Heat. And I imagine I'll catch some shrapnel and bring the heat today because I wasn't waving the pom-poms yesterday.
You know what? I hope that there were calls in the seventh inning. I hope there are from people that
so
were
we
like,
get to both sides.
Oh, so much for the Charlie Manuel magic.
Yeah,
I hope there are messages from the seventh inning.
Some of the tweets I got were great. Looks like Charlie's the pitching coach for the Cubs tonight. That was awesome. 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I'll answer the question. Remember, when is the lowest form of conversation?
Oh, my. It is the Midday Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Just seeing Tyrone, he coming in this Phillies jersey.
Oh, wait. There's going to be two Phillies jerseys?
He's got the pinstripes on. The Harper jersey.
More specifically, there's going to be two Bryce Harper jerseys from 2-6 on the TV show.
And he's floating in here today, too. Club Tyrone is in full effect. The disco ball's down. The black light's on. The music is pumping in Club Tyrone.
What kind of music plays in Club Tyrone?
I don't know. You got to ask Tyrone. He's got control of the jukebox.
Because, Ty, Bryce Harper's walk-up song's country music. Is country music playing at Club Tyrone?
No. He didn't even want I didn't even entertain that for a second. Jimmy Butler was a big country music guy.
Yes, he was. But he's no longer a member. He's out. He's not even Club Philly.
No. He's banned from Club Tyrone.
By the way, his boy Hazley had a hit. Tyrone's boy.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Hazley won one for two last night.
Ranger Suarez. Is he a Club Tyrone guy? How about, no, what's he, who's the other guy? Who's your other guy?
That's, Quinn.
Oh, Roman Quinn.
Roman Quinn.
Yeah. Oh, he had that triple the other night. And he went immediately to Club Tyrone.
He had a double
status.
Yesterday, too, Roman Quinn did.
Oh, my
God. He had a key single, too.
He went two for two in the lead here. Yes.
I love it. Tyrone jumps
up the middle.
Egan's got a Phillies hat on. Ty's got this pinstripe Harper jersey. Andrew's got the powder blue, which, by the way, they wore last night. Awesome.
Yes.
And
I think they do it every Thursday when they are at home.
So all home Thursday games, they
I
wear that?
I think so.
They should just make that a permanent rotate. Not a home or I guess that would be home.
It is permanent. Every Thursday game
I mean, just
home.
Make that your home jersey, period.
Nah, I like the pinstripe. I do like the pinstripe, yeah.
All right. I'll capitulate. I do like the pinstripe.
But I like that they do it. Like, all right, every time we play at home on Thursday, you know what jersey to wear if you're a fan.
Yeah.
Or the powder blue.
Yeah, it is a good-looking jersey. And Harper, like, pulls it off.
Yes.
He's got, like, a retro feel to him already. 610-632-0975. Bring the heat coming up in about 7.5 minutes. But let's head to Marcus Hook, talk to Ronnie on the Fanatic. What's up, Ron? Ron. Ron's not ready.
Ah.
Let's go.
We got the picture.
Oh, you got it?
Yes, with the JT.
All right, let's go to Aaron in Fort Washington on the Fanatic. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
What's up?
So I was going to answer your question, ask a question, but give a movie scene. Answer your question is 316 men came out.
Oh, out of the water that day?
Yes, they did.
So 1,100 men went into the water. 316 men, 16 men come out. Sharks took
never
the rest.
Another life jacket.
Yes. Who was the? What was the guy that his buddy that died? What was he? What kind of sport did he play? Herbie Robinson.
Oh, that's a great question. I don't
remember. Robinson from Cleveland.
Off the top of my head.
Baseball player.
So my question to ask is, given the quarterback situation, I mean, people have been talking a lot of hypotheticals, but I just wanted to ask, you know, outright, given the options available, who would be your top choice to bring in?
What was the question?
Given the quarterback situation with the Eagles,
for me, it'd be Bradford.
To bring someone in.
Yeah.
Bradford?
Yeah, it would be Bradford for me.
Without a doubt.
The reason why is because you're coming in now. Today's August 16th. Say you bring somebody in, you get them in by the 18th. You need somebody that knows the playbook, and you need somebody that's not going to change. Like, you have to change the offense to suit them. So you need one of those guys that can succeed in the way the Eagles do things, a guy that already knows the verbiage, that knows the plays, the checkdowns, and all that stuff. And Bradford fits the bill because he went through an entire offseason with the Eagles and Doug Peterson before he was traded in preseason of 2016.
Yeah, it's a good point. He's a quick fix.
I guess. And he's probably, I mean, it's not like he's horrific. Can he stay healthy? That's a big question.
Right. And you can get him cheap enough that it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's made enough money. He hadn't earned it.
Yeah,
he really made enough of it.
Right. And it's not a permanent solution. It's just a quick fix, like we were saying.
Yep.
Anyway, so movie scene, I'm going to have to go with my favorite movie, though, Fight Club, the last scene of the movie, Edward Norton blowing his face off, followed by the skyline blowing up.
It's a good one.
That is good.
Yeah, it's a really good one. And that's another one of those movies with the revelation of, holy cow. That was all that was in his head.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that throws your head on a 360 the first time you watch that.
Yeah, you're going, wait a minute. You got to be kidding me. But, yeah, no, that's a good one. Absolutely. I'm going to put you in the mix for the tickets, Aaron, all right?
All right, thank you.
Not in the mix. You're going to score the tickets for FanFest, which is a week from tomorrow, all presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
So your next preseason game is next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
By then, is Kessler going to be cleared? Because it was a concussion.
Well, that's what you don't know.
And if he is clear, you still only have two quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you bring in at this point, you got to bring in a camp arm, right?
Well, yeah, Thorson can't take every rep at practice.
Right, so the bro has been really high on bringing in Josh McCown, right? Mm-hmm. Because he still looks like he can play. But Josh McCown's not going to come out of ESPN just to be a camp arm.
No, you can't even quit your job with
he's
no guarantee
of a roster. Exactly, he wants a roster spot. So the question is, do you bring in a guy like Colin Kaepernick just for a camp arm?
You don't bring that distraction just to be a camp arm.
But okay, Bradford's not going to come in to just be a camp arm. He's going to want to try to fight for a roster spot.
Yeah, and with him, you go, all right, come in and show us something.
So all these names that are being given to us, it's like, what do they get out of it? If anything, they beat out Clayton Thorson, who they drafted with the 5th round pick.
Well, you're going to have to pay a guy like Bradford a little more than you're paying your standard 3rd quarterback.
Right. So,
and maybe if it's Bradford, he's actually your 2nd string quarterback eventually.
So it's going to have to be somebody who's going to be a 3rd string quarterback on any other team, and he's just battling for that 3rd string quarterback spot. Because at this point, you do need an arm, because if he's not ready for next Thursday, you have one quarterback.
But also, think about this. Bradford could come in, and if he can get into some game action, show something and end up as a backup for another team.
Yeah, he could be your number two.
Comes back, he's the backup, and then you assume that Cody Kessler's the 3rd string guy.
Right.
When he gets out of concussion.
Because Sudfeld comes back, let's just say week 4.
Yeah, week 4, week 5.
And he's your number 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you bring in Bradford to try to show that he can play somewhere else. I don't know. I think if you bring in somebody, it's got to be somebody
like
who's just
T.J. Kinney.
Yeah, why not?
You know, somebody like that, just to be a camp arm.
He's a wide receiver, though, guys.
No, the quarterback.
Well, T.J. Kinney was a quarterback at one point, but they transferred him to wide receiver.
I know. I'm just saying, like, all right, are we going to have to be super specific here?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, bring in a guy that can throw the ball right at practice.
Where's Mike Kafka when you need him?
Yes.
See, now he was never a wide receiver.
Now you're thinking.
Charlie Whitehurst on a team yet?
Can we sign Terrell Pryor?
If you want a scary
sight. Is he a receiver now?
He is a receiver. If you want a scary sight.
Maybe he wants to be a quarterback.
Go look at how much Charlie Whitehurst made in his career. Oh, it's horrifying.
Oh, he stole money.
But it can't be more than Sam Bradford.
No, but I mean, one his body's in shambles, and the other he's living the life.
Oh yeah.
All right, here you go. I got some quarterbacks for you. Well, Josh McCown, ESPN. Yeah. Mark Sanchez, ESPN.
Yeah.
Matt Cassel, is he retired yet?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Did he officially retire?
98% sure.
Brock Osweiler, still not with the team apparently.
Yeah.
Brandon Whedon, did he retire? He's 35. Trayvon Boykin. Boykin.
How old is Osweiler?
Osweiler's 28.
Yeah. That's not a bad decision.
Yeah, but he's not going to take the pay. Like Brad Kai is a more likely.
What's his option, though?
Sit out and wait for an XFL contract?
Okay, even if you're a camp arm and you make some money at that time, you get to work at an NFL facility.
It's like, if they bring in a guy, it's not going to be a guy with a name. It'll be like Brad Kai.
Okay. You're probably right. Yeah. And here's the deal, though. You're not bringing in Colin Kaepernick to just be a camp arm. You're going to bring in that whole distraction, that whole thing, and knowing that you're not keeping him, there's no chance. There's no chance of that happening.
Yeah, go for Osweiler. Why not?
Free agent? Yeah, Mike Glennon's with the Raiders now. Yeah. There's guys out. If you need a camp arm, they can find a camp arm.
Stasiak asked me last night if Doug Peterson could play for him.
Well, Doug kind of alluded to that.
That's not allowed. Eagles tried that one time.
Did they with who?
They tried it, I want to say, in 2003, they had a coaching intern.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.